Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
Check it out. Labradoodle.
What?
Yeah, right down there.
Oh, I love good breed.
It's so good.
Yes, half lab, half moodle.
Wait, what?
Incredible.
Moodle?
Yeah.
No, that's a not a thing ever.
No, no, it totally is. A moodle.
Isn't that Dave from Econ?
Oh, yeah.
What is he doing up here?
He's probably just enjoying the view, man.
Wait, isn't Dave blind?
We gotta warn him.
Hey, Dave!
Whoa, bro. Whoa. What are you doing? You can't just tell Dave what to do.
Wait, why?
Are you blind?
No.
Okay, so then you don't know what Dave's gone through. You can't really relate to him, man. Just let him be. He's totally fine.
Literally slipping right now.
Okay, you're gonna get all up on him for slipping. Like everyone slips from here and there.
I don't care if he slips. I'm just trying to keep a guy from falling off a cliff.
No. Okay, listen. What I think you need to do right now is you just need to love him. You need to not point out
his weaknesses. What does that have to do with anything?
It has everything to do with everything. Okay, like if you point out his weaknesses, he won't feel loved. He won't feel accepted.
I'm just trying to keep a guy from going off the cliff.
No,
he's not even stopping.
Dave!
No, whoa. Stop it.
You speak out against blind people, so many people will be upset with you. No, so many people won't like you. But also, what if he doesn't like us anymore? You ever thought about that?
Dave will be dead. I need to say, hey,
no, Dave!
Dave!
Is someone there?
Yeah. Hey Dave, how's it going? It's Charlie from school.
Oh hey man.
Stop doing this for Dave's birthday.
Maybe you can help me out. I seem to have lost a trail somewhere. You want to tell me if I'm going the right way?
Maybe he is lost.
Yes.
You're right. We should still just encourage him.
Yeah. Hey, no, Dave. You know you're doing great, man. You know I love that you're out here, man. Too. I'm proud of you being out on this trail.
You're doing great, man. You're doing great.
Oh. Okay, thanks, man. I guess I am going the right way.
Watch, he'll figure it out. You just gotta love him through his problems.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Dave, what are you doing?
What? Dave?
Thank you. I hope that hits close to home, because that's how we rationalize not speaking the truth in people's lives. I am a man of many flaws, and if you need to know them, you are welcome to ask my church. They will happily point them out to you. But one thing that I have always had a conviction on is not letting friends fall off the cliff. And as a result of that, I have lost many, many friends, not over the cliff, but in friendship. I'll give you a small example of this. At my wedding, I had a friend who was dating a girl, and it was a sleepover wedding. It was the whole weekend, and he wanted to bring his girlfriend, and they wanted to stay in the same place. And I was like, not on my watch, baby. And he's like, how dare you tell me what to do? This is my relationship. This has nothing to do with you. I said, as long as I have say as what is happening, I'm going to look out for you, because I do not believe this is God's best for you. Well, as a result, as you can imagine, my friend was hugely upset with me, and our friendship parted for many, many, many years that I dared to shout out where I believed that this was going to cause a problem in his life. Who am I to tell him what to do? And this isn't my opinion. This isn't something that I came with up on myself. I get my opinions and my convictions from the Word of God. But I tell you something beautiful that happened. Many years later, when my friend was in a dire place, guess who he reached out to? And humbly and beautifully, I was able to be the voice of Jesus in his life. And now he's serving as an elder in his church. Our relationship completely restored. And he is running for Jesus in such a beautiful way. Now, that is not always the story of the relationships and the friendships that we have. But at the end of the day, if we can keep quiet when we know that somebody is heading towards a cliff, what type of friends and people are we? If I saw that you were about to eat rat poison and I didn't speak up, maybe I'm an accomplice to murder. And society has put this thing on us about, you know, just being accepting and loving. As you heard, you know, you don't want to speak out against blind people. The guy's like, but he's going to be dead. But Christianity has been silenced in so many ways, where we used to hold people to a standard, not to hold them to laws, but to hold them to the best that God has. And in so many ways, we've stepped back, we've been embarrassed, we've let somebody put their hand over our mouth. But the fact is, as it says in Deuteronomy, there is blessings and cursings, life and death. Therefore, choose life. And I don't know about you, but I can speak for myself that I have become far too comfortable in being quiet about Jesus in places where I know that he's not going to be accepted. So I'm quiet. I might have mentioned to my co-workers and to people that I know, I might have invited them to church. I might have shared scripture with them and they weren't interested, so I stopped sharing. Is there anybody else here? And I just became comfortable as they are heading towards the cliff. Because if you are a Christian and you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, then there is no other way. There is no other way. And when we say, oh, just love them, just love them. You cannot love somebody without truth. If somebody's about to walk into traffic and you're like, oh, I just love you. Your hair is so beautiful. Oh, that shirt looks so nice on you. Who cares? Do we really believe that Jesus is the only way? Do we really believe that he died and he's the only one that can take away our sins? Or do we believe that there are many ways to Christ and that's why we remain silent? You see, the church was never supposed to be a destination. The world was our destination. Apart from heaven, go into all the world. The church was the vehicle, the family by which we did it, by which we were empowered and strengthened and corrected. But it wasn't the destination. And for many of us, church is the destination on the weekend where we come and we get our Jesus on. We get our scripture and then we very comfortably go back into blending into the world where we have our work life and we have our God life and there's a big division in the middle. When Pastor Steve gave me this wonderful honor to preach today, he said, what are you going to preach on? And I said, an exquisite church. And I think I said it very confidently, like I had a clue what I was going to say. That sounded good. I had no idea what it even means. What is an exquisite church? But that's what we're going to talk about today. As I've been praying about this, God has such a sense of humor. And he's been playing games with me ever since the conference. As I've been asking him what to preach. And he's been playing hide and go seek with me. But he is going to do something wonderful here today. How many of you have seen these pictures on your Instagram feed? Why don't you bring that up there for me? How many of you seen that where people take a beautiful background and they ruin it with their filthy feet? Have you seen that? This is not to offend anybody. I just don't understand why we want to see a picture of your feet. Yeah, that's right. He has a beautiful ocean and the beach, and someone is like thinking of you and they take a picture of their feet and you're like, thank you for that. That is wonderful. But as far as feet goes, those are some pretty good looking feet. Nice nails, you know. You can see they've been taken care of. What are beautiful feet, and what does beautiful feet have to do with an exquisite church? I'm so glad you asked, because that's such a good question. And if we go to Romans 10, verse 14 to 15, please. And if you've got a pen, underline this in your Bible, highlight it. But it says this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And this is what Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring good news. This passage is talking about speaking and telling and sharing. Yet it doesn't say how beautiful are the lips of those that bring the good news. How beautiful is the voice? How beautiful is the smile? How beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring good news? Why? Because a voice you can project, you can see a smile from across a room, but feet have to go. Feet have to go. An exquisite church is a church that is mindful and purposeful that their calling and their role is to go out, is to be sent, is to go out and to be the light. And where's that? Can I have that painting? The lighthouse. Can I tell them?
Yes.
Okay. Sandbox, we're taking this home. This ministered to me so much yesterday. I can't even tell you. I didn't even tell Isabella that. I told her nothing. I got here and I was just praying, please, Lord, that she would bring this to church because I wanted to use it as a prop today. And then I got here and she said, this is for you. And I said, thank you. I'm so great that you painted this for all of us. She's like, no, this is for you to take with you. And I'm like, I didn't even argue. I'm like, yes, done. We are taking it. But yesterday, Isabella spoke about us being a lighthouse, shining our light. And we all talk about that, how we are to shine our light and how we are to be that in the world. But what does it mean to shine our light, and how can we be an exquisite church, a church that just shines with beauty? And thank you, Pastor. How do we do that? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news? I want to ask you, are you a person that is bringing good news? That's my boys engaged. What more can I ask for? Are you a person that's bringing good news? About 8 months ago, I started getting involved in the stock market. We all make our mistakes. But in order to trade stocks, you've got to know what's happening in the world. Because it doesn't matter what your stock is. You've got some crazy dude in North Korea who wants to bomb America, and that affects your stocks. So I started reading the news, which is something that I've never done. I've never paid attention to the news. Man. One way to start your day depressed is to start your day reading the news. My goodness gracious. The whole world has burnt to the ground before 6 a.m. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers that are bringing good news. Something that Isabella said yesterday that just so resonated in my heart. But she said, from the perspective of the lighthouse, all you see is darkness all around. And sometimes that's all we see. That was such a powerful point. When you're looking out from the lighthouse, all you see is darkness. You don't see the light that you are emitting and the difference that you are making. You just see the overwhelming darkness. You see the overwhelming sea that's rough and crashing and all of these. You can't see the impact that you are having. But to the person on the other side, they don't just see darkness all around. They see a light, and they see a place to navigate, and they see hope where there was no hope. I don't know for any of the married folks here, but I don't like to fill up with gas often. I like to fill up as little as Meg's knows, because sometimes she's had to take my car and trust God in faith in 0 miles to get it to the gas station. But I don't like to fill up with gas often because it's a waste of time and I've got places to go. And sometimes my wife will say, babes, don't you think we should fill up? And I'm like, no, it's no problem. We'll make it. And then you get to that part where you look and it says 0 miles and you get that feeling in your stomach like, yes, my wife was right, but there's no way that you're going to say anything. And she's like, how's the gas? And you're like, just let me drive the car, you know, just mind your own business. But have you ever been in that situation where you're on a road and there is just nothing? Yeah, you've been there, my boy. It's just nothing. And you're getting more and more anxious. Can anybody relate to that? More and more anxious and more and more anxious. And then there is the lighthouse on the side of the road. And it says like this, Buc-ee's. In 365 miles. And then you keep going and you keep going and eventually you see it. You see that beaver and you're like, thank you, Jesus, for that beaver. And you pull in and you fill your car with gas. And this is how it is for so many people. They are driving along the road. They are putting on the happy face every day. They are going through life, but their hearts are broken. They are desperate. They are lost. But you would never know it because we are so good at putting on faces. And you get to be the lighthouse. You get to be the beautiful feet that is bringing good news. And I'm not just talking about going to Africa and going to India. We need to be going to the whole world. But if we can't start in the places where we work, and we can't start in our families and in our homes, we're not going to be much good out anywhere else. We have accepted that when I go to work, I put on my work faith. And my work faith is very different than when I do a missionary trip. We took 52 people to South Africa in June, as you well know. 2019 June, Crossroads Church, we're going back, okay? So get ready, and there'll be lots of testimonies and that to let you know what's going to happen. But let me tell you what, our church transformed from who they are in Houston to who they were in South Africa. Different people, myself included. Every single day, I was looking to win somebody to Christ. Every day, didn't matter where we were, looking to help somebody, looking to give away money, looking. Why? Because our minds were so focused on being kingdom-minded, on being the lighthouse, because we knew we were going into dark places. Then we get back home, and then it's like, okay, I don't need to do that. The problem with pastors and their children is they're very good at being pastors for the church and not pastors in their home. So are we bringing the good news where our feet are going right now, today, when you're going out for lunch? We were out for lunch with our friends and we were just talking about that, and the waiter came to the table, and this is so easy. And Amanda grabbed the hand of the waiter and said, can we pray for you? And he's like, yes. And we prayed. And it's that easy to do. Was it awkward and uncomfortable? I don't know how he felt, but you know what? I saw him again a couple days later and he looked at me different. And I don't mean in a negative way. Somebody had noticed him enough to pray for him. So I want to ask you, are you bringing good news where your feet are going?
Yes.
Now you're just milking it, okay? I love my boy and my little girl. Why don't you just stand up, you two sweethearts? Will you stand up? Too tired. Stand up, Jordy Pa. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, we've been made to be a light. We actually have to put effort into hiding that light. If we would just be who God created us to be, we shine by default. We've been made to be a city on a hill. And here's what ministered to me so much about this painting is if you've ever seen a lighthouse that is rarely positioned in dangerous places, when the tide rises, it's surrounded by the sea. Have you ever seen how they have built those lighthouses? It takes 10 times longer to build a lighthouse like that than to build one safely on the shore. But that one is far more effective because it's right out where it needs to be. But it takes longer to build that lighthouse because you constantly are pushing against the sea, and then it's washing away your progress, and then you're building again. And this is what it means to be an exquisite church, not just to build a place that's nice and safe, but for us to get our hands dirty and our hearts broken in order to get out to the places where the light needs to shine. Crossroads Church is not a destination. It's the vehicle. If you're living in Aspen, this is your destination. If you're living in Basalt, this is your destination. If you're living in Houston, this is your destination, because this is us going into the world. It's not where we just live. We are on mission. We have been sent here with a purpose. And we've said this before. Why do we, our minds get so right when we go on a mission trip, but then we just fall back into complacency when we get back home? Don't we realize that people are falling off cliffs all the time, and we had the voice to say something about it? Rather let somebody hate you for speaking the truth. We're like, no, that's not love. That is love. That is love. You know that my mom, she used to discipline us, and not this soft nonsense that happens today. When that sweet grandmother of yours used to discipline us, which you've never known, everybody at the school knew about it. They knew, you've been naughty again. Because we would do swimming and I'd have that little ridiculous Speedo on, and there would be signs that my mother had visited. But I know to this day that everything my mother did was because she loved me to not let me fall off a cliff. And she did the best that she could do to keep me in the Word of God and to keep me on the path. And sometimes it required some pain. What type of a friend are you? Are you the type of friend that doesn't want to offend and doesn't want to rock a boat and doesn't want anyone to dislike you, and you just want to maintain every friendship, and in doing so, you compromise on the truth? And in doing that, people are falling off cliffs all the time. Yeah, but if I speak up at my work, then I'm going to get fired. Rather to be fired for warning people and truly loving them about the truth than to remain silent and never even opening up the door and planting that seed. I can tell you story after story after story of people who were so mad at me for things I said and did because I did not believe in what they were doing. And not that I'm 100% right either all the time. And I can also tell you stories about how those things came back around and around and around. For them to come say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And not only what I've done, people have done that in my life. My brother's been that for me. I have had more fights with my brother than any other human on the planet. Because he just wouldn't let me be less than what God had created me to be. Everybody else was like, Brent, you're great. My brother's like, bro, you're fat. Other people are like, no, you look good. Fat looks good on you. My brother's like, you're going to die. Who's going to take care of your family? Do you see the difference? But we get offended by those people. How can you say that? Who really loved? The one who just put their arm around you and said, hey, have another double cheeseburger and fries. Or the one who said, bro, your cholesterol's going to kill you. Do you see what I'm saying? Which one is true love, and are we truly loving? Now, obviously, you can take that to the extreme and you can become so obnoxious and hard and aggressive that nobody can receive anything that you're saying. But there is this beautiful middle of speaking the truth, and we see it straight from Jesus. Jesus was very direct and very straight, and yet he is love. He didn't have love. He is love. Are our feet bringing good news? Do people know that when we speak, it's because we truly love them? That what comes out of our mouth is because we truly care about them and not just to keep the fake peace. When the Bible says seek peace and pursue it, it's talking about the peace that Jesus brings. And outside of Jesus, there is no real peace. Are your feet bringing good news? In order to do that, you have to go. You have to be sent. You have to step out. So when we leave this place, when you go to the restaurant, who's going to Hickory House for lunch? Raise your hands. Anybody? My son, me. Is nobody going to Hickory House? Is that not the spot? We've eaten there twice. I've only been here one weekend. I've had salads, just by the way. If anybody's going to Hickory House, you're bringing the good news to Hickory House. You'll have an opportunity with a waiter, with the person that seats you, wherever you are going, if you will change your mindset to not that I'm just getting through the day, but that I'm on mission and I'm on purpose and I'm here to shine a light. How do I shine that light? By doing good deeds, things that are so amazing that people have to step back and say, there is a God and he is good. So whether you're working in construction, whether you're removing snow, whether you fix roofs, whether you're in an accountant, a banker, whatever it might be, you have to ask yourself, how do I work my job in such a way that it glorifies God? And I don't just mean by working long hours. I'm talking about your very nature, that you are praying to go to work like you would be praying to preach a sermon. Because how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Are your feet bringing good news? This is a picture of what beautiful feet look like. It may not be pedicured, it may not be clean, but these feet have got some miles on them. They've been through some places, they've stepped in some stuff, they've endured some pain, they've been stepped on, they've been run over, they've stepped on some thorns, whatever it might be, because they were willing to go. And in order for us to make a difference, we cannot play it safe. When we launched Sandbox, well, we've still not officially launched, but we had great hope and great expectation. I mean, if you're building a church from the bottom up, it's got to be perfect. Because you don't have all the nonsense of existing churches because you're starting it. Wherever you have people, you have nonsense. But without people, there is no point. Without people, there is no purpose. And we have to reevaluate again and again and again what type of church we're going to be, because there's pressure on us all the time to just build in a safe place. To just build in a safe place. And for us to be pushing out into the waters to build in a place that can really impact people's lives is costly, let me tell you. Our church is just over a year old, and I've already cried many tears over our church to the point that my mom's like, you sure you should be doing this, boy? Where's your joy? Where's your happiness? Mama, it's coming. But you know what? Serving God, the joy comes from Jesus. It's God's joy in our hearts. It's not always what we see and what we're doing, because sometimes it's hard work and there's just no praise for it. There aren't people putting their arms around you all the time and say, thank you for ministering to me. Thank you for all the hours you invest. Thank you for how much you care. There's people telling you all the things you're doing wrong. And the same thing wherever you are. You're ministering at work, they'll hate you for it. But because you love them, that's why you do it. Because you love God, that's why you do it. Because I'm not going to let anybody fall off a cliff as long as I can do something about it. I will shout and holler and scream, and the world can think that I hate blind people. But that person, one day, I will see them in heaven. And they will say, thank you for not remaining silent and coming to where I am, bringing the good news with your feet. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 6, and I will close with this. Verse 8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this to the people. Go. Now we can get emotionally charged and we can get amped. And just like every time I watch Rocky, I'm ready to exercise. And I box for 15 minutes straight. This is a commitment about us measuring what it means to build a house before we build it. Measuring the cost and saying, yes, Lord. Pastor, how many people would you say are present here today? 250. 250 people here today. What happens if 250 people went out and took the word seriously and asked God to give them the words and the opportunity to go out and to bring the good news wherever it is? And it doesn't mean that you have to stand up on a table at Hickory House and start telling everybody that they're going to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's asking God for strategy and wisdom and saying, Lord, how do I reach these people that I see all the time? I see the same person in City Market every day, and all I do is say, hi, how are you doing, and goodbye. Lord, how do I do this? How do I do this? What do I say? Are you praying before you go to City Market so God can give you a word of prophecy to speak into somebody's life? This is what it means to have beautiful feet. This is what it means to be an exquisite church, because there's beautiful feet that are leaving the doors all the time. What a beautiful place. Instead of, that's my destination. Now, I'm not talking about not inviting people to church, but the church has to be going out. This church is vitally important. This is the refueling station. This is where the charge comes and the vision comes. But this is, if this is where it stays, it's pointless. Ephesians 4 says that the job of the leaders is to train up the church to do the work of Christ, instead of train up the church to hear another sermon. That's why Pastor Steve is in India. That's why we're going out and doing these things. Because just to keep it here, that is keeping your light under a bush. It doesn't matter how amazing the service is here on a Sunday. It doesn't matter how incredible the worship is. It doesn't matter how many people fall down and repent and get saved. If nothing changes outside of these walls, what's the point? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Anybody here whose life was affected by beautiful feet? Why would we stop when we experience that for ourselves? Because somebody came, somebody went. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Are there any women that were at the conference that would be willing to share about what God did this weekend? Please come. Thank you.
Man, that heart pounding. Holy Spirit, okay, get up there. Again, Pastor Woodrow. This is exactly in line with what you are sharing, because I completely stepped out of my comfort zone this weekend. I was very much encouraged by a girlfriend of mine, Michelle Woodrow, who was here. And we had the privilege of leading a woman back to the Lord who had wandered far away. She was, I'd say, in her mid-50s. And she had been led to the Lord in her childhood and had a very traumatic childhood. around 16, she left home. Her parents basically kicked her out, and she has been wandering in the desert ever since, and just a really place of sadness and bitterness. And she stood up and asked for healing prayer after Michelle and I shared our story, and something in us just spurred us on. There was more that she needed than just healing prayer. And to watch not only the joyful transformation, but I watched a physical transformation happen in this woman. She went from ashen and downtrodden appearance to just alive. And it made me think of those photos we saw of when somebody is told they're beautiful and the transformation that happens in them. And the light of God transformed her. And it was so out of my comfort zone, but I have to tell you, the heavenly, eternal rewards for that woman will make me keep fighting that fight.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. During the flood in Houston, many of our folks went out to rescue people and pull them out of the water and risked their lives and did the most incredible things. If we could see the opportunity the same way in the spiritual realm, we would act with the same courage as that. One of my boss at work, Jason, was rescuing a cat, and the cat bit him all over his hand, and he kept on, and he still went and got the cat, and his arm got infected, and he had to go to the hospital and all of that. And I asked the obvious question, why didn't you just drown that cat? But he was so committed. He was so committed to saving that cat that he was willing to go to the hospital because of the injuries of that given by that cat. How many of us are willing to take a bite, a bruise, a scratch, a broken heart in order to reach somebody else that doesn't even know that they lost, so they kick and scream and push and punch and bite? Anybody here know what I'm talking about? When you're reaching out and you're saying, I love you, and they're saying, shut up, and you're saying, I'm here for you, and they're like, get lost. And you're like, Jesus loves you, and they're like, I hate Jesus. And then they start speaking badly about you and saying, you're always just trying to push your agenda, and you're a manipulator, and you're a this and that, and people start speaking ill about you, and you're like, but I just care about you. How many of you are willing to go to the hospital for the sake of others? That's what it means to have beautiful feet. Is there anybody else who will share? And no pressure, just a little bit.
Thank you. My name is Katie Hunsberger, and I was one of the breakout speakers for the session. And 3.5 years ago, my husband and I came to church for the very first time in our adult lives, and it completely transformed our marriage, and that's what I got to share. But it brought me to tears to think that during that struggle, I never thought, oh, maybe I'd have an opportunity to tell about my story someday. You know, you don't think that it's going to get better. You don't think that there's going to be hope during that time. But I was just so humbled being able to share and help others with my story and see that God had a plan the whole time, even though I didn't see it. And then the other thing that happened was listening to Jade's story. I had been struggling with self-worth and confidence and comparison my whole life, just never thinking that I was good enough or that I measured up to anybody. And I feel like I have freedom from that now. So, thank you.
Amen. Come, Pat. I want you to know that it was an incredible struggle for me to put on a women's conference. For real. The first one we did in Houston, I struggled and struggled and struggled with, is this the voice of God? Because there are much better people than me in the faith. The Sandbox people know this, but one of the main reasons why I never wanted to plant a church is because I did not ever believe I could live up to the man that Steve Woodrow is. I could never be that type of a pastor, because I look at him and I'm just like, wow. That guy, everything that comes out of his mouth is just so wise. He's always calm. He always knows exactly what to say and what to do. And gosh, I could never be that. You are so blessed, Crossroads Church, to have the quality of men that you have. Pastor Dan, Bryant. But it can't stop you from being having beautiful feet. Because you don't know what God can do with you until you step out and try. That first exquisite, we had no idea what was going to happen. When I invited Becca to come down, I'm like, come, be part of the worship team. She's like, well, what songs? I'm like, I'm not sure. What are we doing? I don't know yet.
Hi, I was blessed to go to the one in Houston, and I was so excited that we were going to have it here in Aspen. And I was touched in Aspen, or in Houston also, and it was an awesome event. This one here, I went up to Brent afterwards and I said, you know, I just feel like this was created just for me this weekend. I needed this so much. Listening to the testimonies of others, hearing some of the things that these women have gone through, and realizing that we are not alone. We've all gone through our trials. And then in the breakout sessions, God's presence was here. And I had planned on going to one, and somebody touched me and told me I should go to another one. And it was like, oh, that was God. That was God telling me that I needed to be there to hear that other woman's story, and just knowing that God is here and He is turning our ashes into beauty. And we are so blessed with Pastor Steve, this whole church, and the things that Brent's done in my life and my family's life and all of yours. And I hope next year that everyone can go to it. It's really, we could stand up here for an hour and still not really tell you how amazing this weekend was. Thank you.
Thank you. As we do communion now, and the band can come up, please. But as we do communion now, I'm going to ask you to consider one thing. If God is saying, who can I send? Can it be you? And you say, God, you can send me, but please don't send me to India. Don't pray those prayers. Can you trust God just to take the next step? Don't think about India and being sacrificed as a in a pot in the middle of the Amazon jungle, okay? Can God use you in your workplace? Can He use you in your family? Can He use you in your marriage? Are you willing to be made the beautiful feet? That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Before Abraham was ever asked to sacrifice his son, he was asked to leave his home. You see, God is progressive in what He asks us and the way He grows. And as we are faithful, He entrusts us with more. Will you be the beautiful feet? As you take the communion, think about the blood that Jesus shed for us, because He was willing not to love us from afar, but to come down and be a sacrifice for us. His body that was broken, He was willing to be the beautiful feet. Please come and let's receive.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.